looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus.
I got my eyes wide open and they're only on you. This ain't no side thing, my ride or die thing.
Hope it darling lifts your face, lift it up to the morning sky.
Lift your head, everyone. You are listening to the Looking Up Show. We're coming to you live on Wednesday, the 15th of July. We're well and truly past the halfway mark of the year. My name is Charissa and I'm joined in studio by my wonderful co-host, Danny. How are you?
I'm praising the Lord and very, very excited and happy to have Charissa back.
It's good to be back. It's been a little while.
It's been a long, 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 long while. Long but anyway, while. It's great that you're back. And so, yeah, it's good to be back, our tag team. And here we are again.
Here we are again for another epic show. Now, because we've been away, what can people look forward to about our show
today? Well, today we're going to have a show that'll go for the next 10 hours. So just giving you a heads up because we've got a lot to catch up on. No, we probably do have 10 hours of material, but we've only got a 2-hour program as always. So, so today, as always, we are going to be journeying through another chapter of the Great Controversy.
Yes, very good chapter.
A fantastic chapter, chapter 14. So this takes us through a third of the book.
Wow.
One third of the book.
That's great. The chapter is entitled Truth Advances in the British Isles. That's in my book.
Mm. In my book, it's Later English Reformers.
Nice.
But either way, we're going to be taking a look at these English reformers that God used in a mighty way. Mm-hmm. It's just an exciting chapter of the Great Controversy. So if you don't have the Great Controversy, how can they get hold of the Great Controversy?
Well, they can simply text us. We have a dedicated studio number here, 0488-17624. And if you text the letters GC to that number, 0488-17624, then we will be able to get one to you. Mm. Free copy.
Well, I know. So that's wonderful. So if you want your book, feel free to text us GC. Otherwise, you can listen to it online. Of course, it's available online for those who, struggle with reading, or you do a lot of traveling and you'd like to listen to it as you travel. I often do that, and that's a lot of fun. As well, we do have the summarized version of the Great Controversy, which is Lineage Journey.
Yes.
So YouTube, Lineage Journey, that's for the TikTokers out there, for those that like to get it in a nutshell, 7, 8, 9 minutes or so. And so Lineage Journey, and they go through the entire Great Controversy chapter by chapter.
Yeah, and it's really bite-size.
Yeah.
I think it's like sometimes 5 minutes, six minutes.
Yeah, that's right. They're rarely over 10 minutes,
I don't think. Very well done. Great visuals.
Very, very well done. So anyway, Lineage Journey for those who'd like to just get a summary of it. As well, we're going to be taking a look at current events.
Mm-hmm. Surprise.
Bible prophecy. And I've entitled this episode, America, the land of freedom, but for how long? So we're going to be taking
one of
a
your
look
favorite
at,
subjects.
It
this
is.
One.
Well, look, it's been a pretty epic time in the United States of America. You were there. Welcome back.
Yes.
So
yes.
How long were you there for?
We were there for 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Wow. 2 weeks. Yeah. And how did the series go there with Amazing Facts?
That was really. It was excellent. Amazing Facts is an amazing ministry. I know that sounds redundant, but it really is an amazing ministry.
Oh yeah, they've got an incredible reach.
They do. We had a tour of their office. We saw all their resources and the materials that they send out.
Wow.
It's amazing what they do there. It really is. Wow. And the facility that the Granite Bay Church is in is a phenomenal facility. I think the whole thing together with the office, it's millions worth of dollars, but it's the nicest church I've ever been to.
Wow. And Charissa's been in a few nice churches.
And I must say, one of the highlights of visiting that church, among the people are amazing and they're very well organized, but the toilets, the bathrooms, they're an amazing.
So they're like in a five-star hotel.
Yes.
Far out.
Well, I've never seen a church.
So
like
not quite like, so even a higher standard than the Hamilton church that you attend.
Much higher than that. It's better than anything you find in a shopping center or a hotel.
Oh boy, yeah. So anyway, amazing facts. I'm going to be sharing an incredible resource in connection with America and Bible prophecy that people can get it, the PDF version of this magazine that we gave out.
Yeah, we did.
Last week, no, the week before.
Two weeks ago.
2 weeks ago when we had America in Bible Prophecy, that seminar.
The Final Allegiance.
Final Allegiance. What was the subtitle?
Final Allegiance, America in Crisis.
Yes, indeed. And so we're going to be looking at America is heading in that direction. So we're going to be taking a look at some developments that have taken place in the last few weeks. And an interesting statement from the one and only Donald Trump, in connection with America's God-ordained destiny. Ooh. Destiny, you can't make this stuff
up. Well, I'm looking forward to this because I haven't been all over the news as recently as you know.
That's incredible. We're going to be talking about a whole bunch of other prophetic developments. We're going to be taking a look at what's been happening here in Australia, in our own backyard. We've got a few shout-outs as well to share, but not right now because we're running out of time. But, folk, you want to strap in and settle in. This is going to be an awesome episode, one of our very, 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 very best.
Said by ourselves. Darby Hughes is going to bring to us this song, Run the Race, and then we'll get right into all those current events.
Hey, everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. It's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun.
Set before us, saints who finished well now implore us to run the race victorious with eyes upon the prize. Press on in faith and cross that finish line. Jesus, who ran
Wow, what an epic song.
What a way to begin.
Darby Hughes there bringing to us Run the Race. And
that was huge.
Yeah, it was kind of inspiring.
Oh, was that sounded very American. Did you hear all the,
I did.
Drums? That sounded very American.
Get
Go
us all
Shell.
Revved up for this, well, this show.
We want to give a big shout out and a big thanks to our mate Shell.
Yes.
She actually puts all the songs in place before Sharissa and I get here. So
she makes our lives easy.
She does. So thank you so much, Shell. And look, being an American, she just, she knew what our giveaway was. She didn't know what the title was. Nobody knows. Not even I do up until the last minute. But what's our giveaway, my friend?
Well, you're excited about this one. I know
you are. I want to get my hands on it.
Yeah.
So, if my sister's listening, please, text in on behalf of your dear brother.
All right, everyone, this is what he's talking about. Today's giveaway is a book by James Rafferty entitled America at 250. And here's the little blurb about it. In a time of global uncertainty and rapid change, many are questioning where the nations of the world, including America, are headed next. Long before today's headlines, the Bible spoke about the rise, the role, and the future of nations. Could those ancient prophecies still have meaning today? This short, easy-to-read booklet explores insights from the books of Daniel and Revelation, uncovering a perspective on America's future that is both eye-opening and hopeful. Discover how prophecy points not only to coming challenges, but to messages of hope, freedom, and a decision that affects us all.
Wow. And I love the subtitle. What does the Bible say comes next?
Yeah, it's actually a great, people can't see it, but the cover's really
done. A fantastic cover, yeah. And so anyway, folk, I think we've got an unlimited number.
She has not put a limit to that.
So
that
there you go.
You're probably right.
Yeah, so this book is literally hot off the press.
Yes, it is.
We got the email.
It's a brand new giveaway.
Brand new giveaway. We just got the email from Faith FM. Uh-huh. I got it yesterday, I think.
I got it yesterday.
Yeah,
too.
And so this was available. And when I saw that this is available, I'm like, this is it for today. America 250, what does the Bible say comes next? Because the United States, Sharissa said this is my favorite topic, and the reason this is my favorite topic is because the United States, according to Revelation 13, is the epicenter of end time prophecy.
And there's something about seeing Bible prophecy being fulfilled before your very eyes that's very faith affirming.
I'm telling you what we're going to discuss today is literally just that. It's just mind-boggling.
And I noticed here, I think it was the giveaway for the breakfast show today.
Oh, there you go.
So we're all onto something good.
There you go. And so, folk, also, I do want to give a plug for the Perfect Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
They gave a plug to our final Allegiance program.
They did. I told them I'll be listening to make sure. And so they gave it a good plug.
And just while you're finding your thing there. We met people at the Final Allegiance program in Hamilton 2 weeks ago who came because they heard that plug.
Oh, there you go, Justin. Thank you so much. Thank you, Kyle. Yeah. And thank you, Phil. The three of them and Morgan. Morgan's joined. So now they're a quartet now.
Oh wow.
Instead of the
We are still singing duets.
Instead of the Three Stooges, they're like now the quartet, the awesome foursome.
That's great.
The three amigos. Anyway, if you want to listen to The Perfect Storm, you can. I have just got their latest. I'm a subscriber.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm one of their fans. And so 2 hours ago, they've just released their their newest episode number 89.
Uh-huh.
And so it's on YouTube as well. So people, it comes on the radio, Faith FM, at 4:30.
Right.
Eastern
Thursdays.
Standard Time. Friday.
Fridays. Yeah.
Friday, 4:30, if you want to listen to the radio broadcast. But if you want to see these good-looking young men, if you want to see them and what they look like, and they also share a lot of visuals and stuff, you can go to Faith FM on YouTube, and it's right there. So it just came out 2 hours ago, and the title of this week's episode is Proof of Life.
Mm.
So
great.
I'm going to check that out later as I'm driving to Boolaroo for my Daniel seminar tonight at 6:30. So straight from Faith FM radio. Looking Up Show, I go to run the Daniel Seminar at 6:30.
What a life.
So not much land. And by the way, speaking of toilets, I got a text message from our mate Sue.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to know what Sue had to say? She says, Boolaroo Loo is better than Hamilton's. There you go. That's from Sue. So that's the definitive word on who has...
I'm not going to argue with that.
on who has the better toilets. There you
She's
go.
She's probably onto something there. We've already heard from another listener, Davo.
Oh, Davo sent me a message. He was looking forward to the program. What did he say?
He said he's grateful for school holidays because I can listen to you and Danny today.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we're glad to have you back.
And we do want to encourage our listeners to be keeping the TPUM for Christ. So we've got your other half, Justin. He barely... It barely landed in Australia and he was back in the air to the Solomon Islands, running a 2-week program. How's that going?
It's going really well. Yeah. They're coming to an end soon. So now it's just following up people. He's already made an appeal and several appeals, but it's exciting that people are responding. And, you know, the cool thing about it is it's not just his location, but simultaneously all over the Solomon Islands, the message is going out. People are making decisions.
Probably in hundreds of sites.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they're making decisions to commit their lives to Christ. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So
Amen.
It's exciting. And we can be a part of it by just praying for them from over here, which is great.
Amen. Amen. And I got a message from Sue yesterday in connection with James Butcher, who is there in the Solomons. And he said, there's about 25 people getting baptized this Sabbath and 30 more have asked for Bible studies. So we praise the Lord for all these awesome decisions. And, so yeah, keep them in prayer. And, oh, big congrats. I saw your dear sister on Sunday with a ring on her finger. I told her I was going to give her a shout out. She's probably, I don't know if she's listening
she's
right
working.
Now. She's working.
But I'll tell her to listen.
Marlita is no
Fong.
Longer single. Marlita Fong, this is Charissa's sister, the one that provides beautiful music for us. She got engaged, she told me, not so long ago. Was it last month?
Yep.
With Samity Sam.
With Sam Walters.
Oh, we had him on the program. Top bloke.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Maybe we can have him some more.
Oh, he's going to make a great brother-in-law. I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
Yeah, we're very, very happy with how God has led. God leads, your love story
absolutely.
Is the best.
So I'm telling you, if there's one thing you want to know about the Fong family and the daughters in particular, the husbands in Australia, just don't cut it. Just don't cut it. America or England. That's where we go.
It's one way of looking at it.
Oh, boy. Hey, can I give a plug for I'm going to...
I don't think I can stop you, so go ahead.
We are going to get to our current events very soon, folks. It's just we've just got too many things. Harvey WA. So I'm going to Harvey WA.
Yep.
Not this Friday, next Friday. I'm jumping on a plane. And so on Saturday, July 25, a full day, four programs, A World on the Brink. July 25. So that's Saturday week.
They're in for a blessing.
Oh, they're going to listen to
they're
four
gonna
sermons.
They're not going
to
know what's hit them.
Hurricane Danny is coming. Cyclone Danny, actually, because we're in Australia. Cyclone Danny is coming to WA, coming to Harvey. So, July 25, we've got to provide lunch. If you're interested, go to the website, the Faith FM website, go to the events page, and you can register there. And if you're anywhere near Harvey, come along. It's a full day. You're going to love it. There's going to be, God's word, food. We're going to have resources as well to provide. It's just going to be a great time, and I'd love to meet you there.
Amen.
All right, and that's pretty much it. We already gave the Hamilton shout out, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did that. So that's about it. That's all we've done. We've done weddings and marriages and babies. The baby's going well for Charisse in case our folk are wondering. She's growing.
Yes, yeah.
Growing and glowing.
Well.
Growing and glowing.
That's how I feel.
All right. So time to take a look at what's been.
Where are we going?
All right. Okay. So maybe for these next few minutes, we've got about nearly 5 minutes, just under 5 minutes. Let's take a look at what's been happening in Australia.
Okay.
All right. So here in Australia, there's a human rights bill that's come out. I'm not sure if you have caught up with that, but Freedom for Faith, they sent me an email in connection with this human rights bill that a Greens MP by the name of Jenny Long, or L-E-O-N-G, has proposed. And this is what Freedom for Faith, who tracks this stuff very carefully, And we ought to support this organization, Freedom for Faith, because as the title suggests of their organization, that's what they're fighting for, freedom and faith. And this is how they begin. The New South Wales Parliament is considering a human rights bill that could reshape the relationship between government, individuals and religious organizations across the state. So that's here in New South Wales in particular.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on and says, this bill introduced by, as I pointed out, this Greens MP, Jenny Leong, the bill does not simply reproduce the human rights obligations Australia has already accepted under international treaties, but instead it rewrites established rights, introduces new and contested ones, and leaves out important protections, including, listen to this, the rights of parents in the religious and moral education of their children.
Wow.
So this could probably impact even homeschoolers. You know what I mean? I don't know the bill.
That's scary.
So definitely, you know, because, I mean, you think about it. How can a law impact the rights of parents in how they educate their children?
Mm-hmm.
This is like the tentacles are going into the home.
Mm.
So, yeah, it goes on. It says it also, this bill significantly weakens the protection given to freedom of thought, conscience and religion.
Mm.
Like that. They're red lights for me when I start reading
when
that.
When people start trying to police thought, it's always a bit concerning.
Because we're already heading in that direction.
Yeah.
Okay, remember the bill there in Victoria, and we had one in New South Wales. What was it that I can't remember, the anti-something bill where, you know, you cannot even pray for someone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can't remember what it was called. Maybe you'll remember, maybe not. But anyway, it was a bill in connection with taking away religious freedoms. It says, the proposed New South Wales Human Rights Commission would receive broad powers to investigate organizations, compel the production of documents, require participation in conciliation and publish information while complaints remain unresolved. And it goes on and it speaks of this. And it says, if you go to the Freedom for Faith website, you mm-hmm. can actually place a submission and share your thoughts, your concerns.
Okay.
So, which we ought to be doing.
Yeah, so people should go to the Freedom for Faith website.
Absolutely.
Become familiar with the issue and
absolutely.
Just voice a biblical response, a Christian response.
Yeah. So according to Freedom for Faith, they're encouraging Christians
To step up, speak up,
and to call on our New South Wales Parliament to reject this bill.
Well, I think that would be something everybody should do. So thank you for alerting us to
that. Yeah, absolutely. So we need to be on top of these things as well. Okay. Did you know that we have now, I don't know whether you guys experienced this when you came into Australia, but we've got a digital arrival card for international travelers.
I read that recently and I was interested because I was like, what's the difference? Because when we come into Australia now, as you're heading in from overseas, everybody gets a piece of paper.
That's right.
But now they're going to digitize it.
Well, you're still going to be able to use the paper, but now you're going to have the option.
Oh, okay.
You're going to have the option of...
I always wonder what's the purpose of the paper because they get a lot of papers.
They do. So it says, the digital option for international travellers arriving in Australia is set to be rolled out across the country from next year. So that's going to happen from next year. But anyway, why I'm raising this is things are going more and more digital.
Yeah.
So we've got digital currencies, you know, that are in the pipeline. We've got digital ID. Now we've got this digital. Everything's going digital. AI in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is all part of Revelation 13 and preparing the way.
Well, we're going to come back to this, How Great Thou Art, right now, and then we'll keep going right after that.
Oh, Lord, my God. When I awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed.
sing, sings my soul. My Savior, God, to thee how great thou art, how great thou art, yeah. Then sings my soul. Not sparing, send you to die. I scarce can take it in. That on that cross, my burden gladly bearing. You bless. She'll come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and then proclaim, my God, how great you are. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to
to Faith FM, positively different radio.
You have a Bible question you've never quite had answered? I'm Lyle, and every Thursday at 5 p.m., I unpack the deep, meaningful, and sometimes tricky questions people send in. Whether you're searching for clarity, exploring a new topic, or just love learning alongside others, Question of the Day is for you. Send your questions anytime to 0488 808 56, and join me each Thursday at 5 p.m. as we dig into the Bible with the promise that no question goes unanswered.
Looking unto Jesus.
And here we are on the Looking Up Show. We are so glad that you are with us still. A reminder that our giveaway today, America at 250, a book by James Rafferty. When do you want to give away the code word?
I think we'll give it away in the next segment.
Okay, one more segment. So everybody keep listening. And in the meantime, keep this number handy, 0488 17624. That will be the number you want to keep, because that's the number that you will text the code word to. And of course, if you have any comments, questions in relation to today's broadcast, we would love to hear from you. 0488 17624. We've had one in question in already. Davo asks, Sharissa, is Sam Walters related to Lawson from the, who used to be on the Breakfast Show? And the answer is no, but they are brothers in Christ.
Yes, yes.
Brothers in Christ. Same name, brothers in Christ.
They don't look very similar.
No, they don't.
They don't have the same color skin. That's for sure. That's kind of a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
But no. So, very, very happy for Marlita. Very, very happy for her. All right. Well, before we went to that beautiful song, how great that was. What a beautiful song. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome song. We were just taking a look at how everything is going more and more digital.
That's right. You were talking about the passenger card.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's interesting. And with AI in the mix, and by the way, our mate Scaffy,
uh-huh,
I noticed on the Faith FM events page, he's got a couple of programs there in Brisbane next month in connection with AI, like a two-part presentation, like on one evening.
I know he's headed to Waitara as well.
Is that right?
Faith FM evening as well, yeah.
Is that right? Like an AI, yeah. Because he's right into that.
Yeah.
Well, he had his show, didn't he? Yeah, he had that show where he talked all about AI and Palantir and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He's right on top of that. So anyway, so if you're interested in the prophetic significance of AI, you want to go to those venues if you're anywhere near Brisbane. One's in Caboolture. Anyway, well, maybe we'll give the details later on. But anyway, when it comes to AI, while we've been away from the news, this was July 13th, so that's not long ago, is it?
Mm-mm.
That's just on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And the headline from ABC News was, with AI, we have returned to a world of two competing superpowers. Now they are calling it the AI Cold War. remember the nuclear Cold War?
Yes.
Between the Soviet Union and the United States of America?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's gone. Now we're looking at
an AI Cold War
between the United States and China.
Wow.
So anyway, I just want to remind us of 2023. So let's go back to,
three years,
May 2023.
Mm-hmm.
This was the headline. Okay. So this was part of that article. And so I found the article. There was a link to it. Tech world warns risk of extinction from AI should be a global priority like pandemics and nuclear war.
Now, why does it say that? Because AI will...
This is 3 years ago.
...develop weapons.
Well, they're using AI weapons today, AI-generated weapons today.
Right.
What the war that's going on in the Middle East right now,
yeah.
Targets that are being assessed for, to be hit by the Americans, they're utilizing AI like never before.
So you better
drones,
hope the algorithms
so you've got drones.
Are right.
I'm telling. Well, remember
yeah,
there was that strike, the strike on that school,
mm-hmm,
killed all those children, over 100 children, 150, 60. Oh. And apparently from the story that I have heard anyway, that used to be a military base once, mm-hmm, upon a time, but there used to be a military base next to that school. But the AI, wasn't updated with that information, and so it had the old information, and, sadly, dozens of children lost their lives. Anyway, this was back in May 2023, an open letter was basically written to the world.
From Elon Musk?
From Elon Musk and many others.
Yeah.
That number now, according to what I've just read, that number now is up to 1,300 individuals who are in that space. Okay, so these are not just any people. These are people who are in the space, like OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, you know, is among those. And this is what they have written in their letter. Just this one sentence. Mitigating the risk of extinction from AI should be a global priority alongside other societal scale risks such as pandemics and nuclear war. So they're putting it on the same level as pandemics and nuclear war. So we don't know where this train's going to go, but what we do know is that we are living in a more uncertain and precarious world. That's the bottom line.
Definitely. And by the way, this is a slight side note, but did you know that Elon Musk put a post of an Adventist aviation video on his X account?
No
beginning
way.
Of this month?
Are you serious?
Yeah, because they use Starlink to help some Adventist aviation missionary service out in the Philippines.
Wow.
And they're using Starlink, and the video is all about how Starlink has really helped them to get help to people better, and he posted the video on his account. Got 3.5 million views.
Wow. Well, there you go. Look, there's people out there like Elon Musk and many others who I believe are sincere. Many of them are sincere seekers for truth, okay, but they maybe have not come across Bible truth,
mm-hmm.
you know, that is life-transforming and life-changing, as you and I know and many of our listeners know firsthand. But I believe that as time goes on, God is going to provide openings for mm-hmm. them. And so that is really exciting. And, yeah, just going back to that letter quickly, one last sentence. AI poses serious risks of human extinction, and the world needs to seriously grapple with them.
Mm.
So, yeah, look, the Bible tells us, Charissa, if we, you know, if we open our Bibles,
mm-hmm.
Where is it here? I mean, it talks about this time of trouble in Daniel, such as the world has never seen before in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to take a look at, you know, the words of Jesus. You know, the words of Jesus, based on the second coming, Luke 21, and mm-hmm. words that, you know, relate to our program,
mm-hmm.
the Looking Up Show. If you want to take a read once again of verse Luke 21, verse 25 and 26.
And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken.
Okay, so this tells us that at the end of time, there's going to be fear,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be perplexity, and there's going to be distress amongst the nations.
Mm.
And so that is where everything is heading. That is why our only hope is in Jesus, Charissa.
Amen.
Because it goes on, in verse 27 and 28.
Yeah, it says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near.
Amen. Amen. So that is our only hope.
Mm.
That is our only hope, to be looking to Jesus. So as we see more and more of these news headlines, when we see headlines such as AI poses serious risk of human extinction,
mm.
It's on the same level as a global pandemic, which we had only a few years ago, or on the same level as nuclear war and nuclear annihilation, that should tell us that we are heading to the second coming.
Amen.
So that's the good news. So we have to look up. All right. So a couple of other things before we tackle the United States.
Mm-hmm.
China, here's another one. China recently tested a missile in the Pacific.
Yeah, I saw that.
You saw that? Yeah.
That looked a bit scary.
It did. And that's all part of it. Then you've got these nude swimmers swimming for the winter solace there in Tasmania.
Again.
In the Derwent River. Again. And this time it's being celebrated.
Mm.
You know, we've talked about that in the past, how something that was condemned
mm-hmm.
and illegal and you could be fined now is celebrated only, what, you know, 5-10 years later.
Mm.
And so we can see how Bible prophecy is being fulfilled and how things are changing rapidly.
Mm.
And so we've also got this war taking place in the Middle East. You realize 4.5 months on and this war is still going.
I thought he declared it was over.
A few times. He has declared that a few times. There was this
back on.
There was this memorandum.
That was a rumor? Was that a rumor?
No, he actually said it. He said it a million times.
Yeah.
I can't keep up how many times Donald Trump has said the war is over, it's all done and dusted, and so on and so forth. This memorandum of understanding that was signed, I don't know, a month or more ago, it's basically in tatters.
Mm-hmm.
It never really was. It's supposed to be a ceasefire. But this is telling you that you have two sides here. Well, you've got three. Okay, you've got America and Israel together against Iran. Okay, so neither side wants to give in. Okay, and so guess who's caught in the middle? Okay, not only are people suffering there in Iran in particular, that are being bombed even now as we speak, but you've got the whole world economy.
Yeah, we're just responding to everything that happens.
You know what? If this continues, okay, I'm going to make a prediction. All right,
here we go.
I'm not very good at making predictions.
You're not very good, but you're not often wrong on this show. So tell us, what is it?
Okay, if this war continues, we're in July now.
Yeah.
If this war is continuing there until the end of the year, next year there's going to be major, not only fuel shortages, but there's going to be food shortages, okay? Because you know, we get so much of our fertilizer from that part of the world through the Strait of Hormuz. It's going to impact the world. Not to mention, you know, there's pharmaceuticals, lots of things. So this year, we're going to limp through. We're not going to know too much different. But next year, if this war is still going, Sharissa, come 2027, you and I and everybody else will know about it.
Well, yeah, because the fuel excise is coming to an end soon, isn't it? So the petrol's going to go up again. People are going to start feeling the pinch again.
Yeah. Look, you can't take 20% of the world's fuel supply out of the system for a long period of time.
And not have it affect.
And not have an impact. It just can't happen. So, anyway, we will.
This world is such a mess.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the Lord is coming soon.
He has promised a better world.
Absolutely. Amen. We've got a little bit of time left here. There's been wildfires there in Europe, a lot of heat, a lot of people dying as a result of the heat there in Europe. But let's now pivot and go to the land of the free and the home of the brave. Are you ready?
We had to get there at some point.
Okay, all right. So we've got a bit of time for this. And then the next whole section, we will deal with this. So, all right, let's take a look at these 250th celebrations. All right, so do you want to share with me? I'll share with you a statement that Donald Trump made in connection with the 250th anniversary. Like, he made the speech. I don't know if you caught it or not, but he made the speech. There was lightning.
What day?
July 4th.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, on July 4th, Independence Day, so he gave his address to the nation. Now, wasn't a long speech. I was expecting like 2 hours because
he's good at that.
Yeah. Well, he said it was going to be a long, 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 long speech, but he kind of didn't. I think there was a big storm. There was lightning.
A lot of people went home.
A lot of people went home and so on and so forth. Anyway, maybe that's a harbinger of things to come, the big storm that hit the U.S. On their special day. But anyway, in his 35 or so minute speech, this is one line that caught my attention, which is literally straight out of Bible prophecy.
Listen to this. What is it?
Okay. He said, "We have thrived and flourished because our founders were great. Our cause was just. Our people are brave. Our culture is exceptional." And notice these words. "And our destiny is written by God."
It's true.
It's true. Let's go to Revelation. It's there. Have a look. I'm sure Donald Trump or whoever wrote his speech had no idea that he was literally quoting out of scripture. The destiny of this nation was indeed written by God 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 12. And if you want to read 12? From Revelation 12, if you want to read verse 15 and 16, please.
So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
So who opened their mouth to swallow the persecution? The earth. And in Revelation 13:11, we've got another beast that comes up out of the
earth,
which is
the United States.
So this was written by God. The destiny of the United God had a destiny for the United States to be the place of religious freedom where people fled.
And we will see that in our chapter.
We're going to see that in our chapter. Absolutely. So this was, so Donald Trump was on point with this destiny written by God in his word. Wow.
Well, there's more to come. Let's listen to Joel bring to us the song Friend right now.
When I'm walking through the valley of dark shadows, even when I'm overwhelmed beneath the weight of sorrow, even when I can't outrun my fears, every other hope has disappeared, I'm not alone, I'm not alone. I've still got Jesus, oh, I've still got Jesus, closer than a brother, no matter where I am. When I need an ally in the fight, and even though somebody's on my side, he always steps in, I've always got a friend. Take away all of the things down here I treasure. You can leave me nothing but the breath inside my lungs. Still I know that I'd have everything. I can lift my empty hands and sing at the end of the day. With joy I can say, still got Jesus, oh, I still got Jesus, closer than a brother, no matter where I am. When I need an ally in the fight, and even though somebody's on my side, he always steps in, I've always got
was a beautiful song. I really enjoyed it. I've never heard that before.
Go Shell.
She's found some great ones.
Oh, she certainly has. That's because we haven't been on air together for like ages.
That's true. So all the good songs coming out. what a blessing to have a friend that
Amen.
We can turn to at any time. We can
Amen.
Look to Jesus at
Amen.
Any time.
Amen.
And he's there. Well, we are now at the point where we can do this giveaway
Absolutely.
Code.
Oh, this so, is an awesome book, folk. Yeah. Have your fingers ready to text.
All right, here we go. I don't know. Thank you. I don't know how to do the drum roll. So
that's the drum roll for today.
The code word for today's giveaway is L-U. Sorry, it's your thing.
L-U. 26250.
How about that?
I was waiting for a word.
Yeah, I know.
LU26250.
LU for looking up, 26 for the year 2026, and 250.
Ah, yes.
250 for
yes.
America at 250.
So they're not just random numbers.
No, 250 for the 250th anniversary. So text LU26250 to 0488-17624. And if you do that, you will be a recipient. There's no limit on this of James Rafferty's book, America at 250. What does the Bible say comes next? You must know if you don't already. This is good stuff.
You are going to love that. So, anyway, and a big shout out to our mate Linda.
Yes.
Our mate Linda from Hilltop Pizza.
I wish we could be there right now.
So she's got the Looking Up show on at Hilltop Pizza there in Adelaide. So
amazing.
Go Linda, and she's doing a great job because she's holding down the fort while her husband Ace took off to Macedonia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm not sure if he's going to make pizzas over there. But anyway, he sent me a message last week saying, I'm at the airport. I'm going back home because home for him is Macedonia. And I've told you, he was born in the same village my dad was born in.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the same village that I was conceived in.
Yes.
Okay, because you know my story. I was conceived in Macedonia and dropped off in Melbourne.
Yeah, I know.
You maybe don't want to know that, but that's how it was for me. Yeah. So anyway, Lucky is the village of Ace. So he's gone back home there. And so Linda and her delightful daughter is taking care of the pizza shop.
Amen.
Well done. Well done.
Very good. Well, we have another listener who's sent in. This is from Andrew. He's actually got a good question and I think yeah, we should look at it. He says, this is something I'm trying to understand, and it's not a personal attack on Sharissa, but more to understand friends and family and for ourselves. The question is this. Why focus on having babies if we are heading into such difficulties in the end time? Shouldn't we be focused on saving lost souls, not adding more to the equation and providing another way for Satan to tempt us when Sunday law rolls out? That's a pretty valid question there, Andrew, and I appreciate you asking it. To be honest, this is something that I definitely prayed about, and we prayed about because we feel the same way. We see the world is falling apart. We see that time is short. We see the signs that tell us that Jesus is coming soon, and so it's not something that we considered without much prayer. And we ask God to lead and guide us, and we consider that every life is a gift from God. It's a miracle, that's
Amen.
For sure.
Amen.
We don't know when Jesus is coming. Obviously, I go home every Wednesday feeling like it's coming very soon. And I do believe he is going to come in my lifetime. I believe that, but so did Paul. He said, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And I know my own mom, she thought she shouldn't have children because she thought Jesus would come in her lifetime. And here I am. She's now a grandmother. I hope and pray Jesus comes very soon. We don't know when he's coming, but either way, I've found that even being a parent has allowed me to witness to people that I otherwise couldn't have connected with. If I didn't have this experience, it's broadened my opportunities to reach people. And I consider as a parent, my duty to raise my children to be little missionaries for the Lord. And children, Amen. They had a part to play in the Reformation too. If you read the Great Controversy, there were little child preachers there as well. They have a purity of faith and can express a love for God that's very powerful Amen. And winning Amen. To people. So, I don't know. These are some of the things. This is how I see it. I'm just sharing my thoughts. Do you have any thoughts?
Look, I think Jesus, when he talked about the second coming and he talked about the signs of his coming, he said, no one knows the day or the hour,
right.
but we can know when it is near at the doors.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this fine tension between, you know, the near but not yet.
Yes.
And, you know, Jesus also said, occupy till I come. Yeah. So we don't exactly know when Jesus will come.
Look, could be 5 years, could be 10 years.
We also have to recognize in that book, The Great Controversy, we're probably going to get to this statement as we go along, not today, but in a future chapter, where the author there, Ellen White, speaks of how God could have sent Jesus and Jesus could have come earlier than 2026, way earlier than 2026, but God's people were not ready.
Mm.
They were not prepared to receive him. So, you know, even though we see a convergence of end time events telling us that the coming appears to be drawing near, God is ultimately in control. He is sovereign. God can put the handbrake on. God can release the handbrake.
Right.
Jesus will come. He will come. He says, I am coming. In Revelation chapter 22, three times, I am coming quickly. I am coming quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, I am coming soon.
Amen.
And so Jesus will come. That's definite. As to when, we don't know. And in the meantime, we just need to prayerfully consider every decision, whether it's having a child or children, whether it's purchasing a property, whether it's starting a business, whether it's moving to a different part of the world, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If we pray, God will lead and guide us.
He really will.
And it's not a one-size-fits-all. So the answer that God will give to you, Charissa, in connection with the same prayer request might be very different to what he gives me, to what he gives to Andrew, to what he gives to anybody else.
God calls us to different mission
fields and
different things. And yeah, thank you, Andrew, for the question. And a reminder, we've had some people already texting in the code word LU26250. Takes that 3204888176 24.
Fantastic. And Shell, give her a big shout out. She asked, how is it going, guys? And I said, amen, super well. And thanks for the music selection. Jeez. So good old Shell, she's concerned how her mates are. She's not concerned about you because she knows you've been doing all right, but she's worried about the co-host and how he's keeping, whether you're keeping him under control. But anyway, all right, so let's take a look at America in prophecy. So this statement by Donald Trump in his speech in connection with the United States of America, you know, and this headline was caught by Fox News. You know, Donald Trump declares America's destiny is written by God. And we just took a look at scripture. And scripture indeed says that America's destiny would be written by God 2,000 years in advance. So let's read verse 11,
okay.
Revelation 13, verse 11.
Here we go. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon.
That is so intense.
Mm.
So here is this power. We've identified this power in the past many a time. This lamb-like beast. Well, we don't know what the beast looks like, but we do know the two horns are what?
They're like a dragon.
Two horns are like a lamb, but ultimately it will speak like a dragon.
Right.
Okay, so these two horns, what are the horns in the Bible can represent
powers.
They can represent powers, but they can also represent authority.
Okay.
So they can represent kingdoms and they can also represent authority. I shared a sermon. Well, I shared this in my message there in Hamilton, how in the book of Psalms and in Habakkuk, there are passages there in connection with these horns representing power, authority, and also like prestige.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what a horn represents. So what are these two horns that are the very foundation of the United States of America? Why God has blessed this nation more than any other nation upon whom the sun shines?
two horns that are very unique.
Yes. What are they?
The separation of church and state, civil and religious liberty.
Exactly. Or republicanism, which is a government without a king.
Right.
Okay, which is what we had in the old world. And Protestantism, which is a church without a pope or a church without a religious leader.
Okay.
At its head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because in the old world, and even today, you know, it's not just the Roman Catholic Church that has the Pope who is, you know, the head of state, as in from a political point of view, but also the head of the church from mm-hmm. a religious point of view. You've got the Anglican Church, okay, mm-hmm. or the Church of England, okay, that is a church-state union, because the king currently, King Charles III, I think, the third, yes, I think.
I just call him King Charles.
King Charles. I think he's the third. Anyway, he is the head
of the Church of England.
The Church of England.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's the king. Okay, so you've got this merger of church and state. Whereas in the United States of America, okay, it was founded on the separation of church and state. Now, why is that so important? Is because this very principle is under attack and the nation will speak like the dragon. And of course, the dragon is who?
Satan.
The devil and Satan. And a nation speaks through what?
Its laws and legislative councils.
Exactly right. So this is under attack. So when religious liberty is under attack from none other than the Religious Liberty Commission, you can't make this stuff up.
And
Not the secular left. They're not attacking the separation of church and state. Who is attacking separation of church and state right now?
But they probably don't think they're attacking it.
They don't think they are.
They think they're helping it.
They think they're helping it because it's called the Religious Liberty Commission.
Right. But, yeah.
Well, so let's take a look at this First Amendment of the United States Constitution, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Bill of Rights was put out in 1788. Then there were 10 amendments, okay, that were brought out in the Constitution. The first one is, do you have it there?
The first one?
Yep, First Amendment of the United States Constitution.
Is it this one? Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people, peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
Okay. So this First Amendment.
There's a lot there.
There is a lot there. Okay. So it points out freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's one. Freedom of speech.
Right.
Two. Freedom of the press. Three. To peaceably assemble or freedom of protest.
Yeah.
Okay. That's four. And finally, to petition the government for redress of grievances, you know, to be able to say
speak
no.
Speak up and
exactly.
Voice
we don't
an
agree.
Opinion.
Exactly. To have an opinion and to voice that to the government in writing.
In order for Bible prophecy to actually happen, this has to disappear.
The principle has to disappear. Absolutely. So now, let me ask you, has freedom of speech been under attack in the US? The answer is
yes.
Yes. Has freedom of the press been under attack? The answer is yes. Has freedom to peaceably assemble been under attack?
Yes.
Yes. And, you know, to petition the government as well, that has also been under attack. So the last thing that is left is freedom of religion. The establishment of religion and the prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Okay, that principle, those principles, religious and liberty, religious and civil freedom. So now the Religious Liberty Commission, okay, they have just put out their first, the draft report, 220 odd pages of Religious Liberty Commission delivers historic report. And in this report, there are 12 key points, 12 key recommendations to strengthen religious liberty for all Americans. And the first one is very alarming because the first one says this, Sharissa,
mm-hmm.
instruct the Department of Justice to issue guidance clarifying the proper understanding of the Establishment Clause and separation of church and state. Now, what do you think this one is so alarming? That's because now the Department of Justice or the government is the one that's going to define what separation of church and state means.
So we have to wait for that?
Whenever governments do the defining and not the Constitution itself, you are in serious trouble.
Hmm.
We're gonna unpack this some more.
You have to say a bit more about that.
We're gonna unpack this some more.
Bethany Barnard, A Better Word. Let's enjoy this song that Shell's put together for us.
I hear the blood of Abel speak, an accusation over me. I'm guilty and I am in need of mercy.
I'm Rochelle, and you can join me every Thursday afternoon on Faith FM for the Book Nook. We'll discover great books, chat with inspiring authors, and enjoy great music and giveaways. We'll also be joined by Lyle Southwell each week for Question of the Day, where you'll get answers to your Bible questions. There's no question too big, too small, or too strange. So text in on 0488 80856. Tune in live to the Book Nook with Rochelle each Thursday from 3:30 p.m. New South Wales time.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
That's right. You're listening to The Looking Up Show right now. And a reminder, the code word LU26250250. Text that through to 0488 80864 and you will receive our giveaway, America at 250 by James Rafferty.
Wow, what a book. What a book. I can't wait to get my hands on that. All right, so we are talking about these two horns.
Yes.
Okay. This is the power and the thought. And by the way, I found those scriptures and I shared them in Hamilton. One is in Habakkuk, where it says there in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 4, and his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Exactly. So horns in connection with power. That's not in connection with America, but the principle of horns and power coming together here. Another one in Psalms. Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And the word there, horn, according to Strong's, is strength. Uh-huh. And one more, in Psalm 148:14, it says, and he has exalted the horn of his people, speaking of Israel, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. And the word there for horn in Strong's dictionary, strength and dominion.
Yes.
So these two horns have given the United States strength
and dominion
and
in the
dominion
world.
And power
That's
in the world.
That's a great line of Bible texts.
Absolutely. That's straight out of scripture. All right. So, and the reason why the United States has been blessed more than any other nation upon whom the sun shines, according to the author Ellen White, from The Great Controversy, is because it set up religious freedom. Do you want me to share this statement from her?
Yes, I do.
It's a very, very powerful statement.
Tell us.
This is what she shared, and I shared it in a sermon at my church at Bullaroo on Saturday, which I'm going to be sharing the same or a very similar sermon at RTM this coming Saturday. And I've entitled it Crazy Alarmists. Mm-hmm. That's my sermon title, Crazy Alarmists. People are going to find out why that title. Anyway, listen to this. She wrote this January 1, 1904. Ellen White writes, the Lord has done more for the United States than for any other country upon which the sun shines. Here, he provided an asylum for his people. We read that in Revelation chapter 12. The earth opened up and swallowed the persecution, the flood from the serpent, the devil and Satan. Here he provided an asylum for his people where they could worship him according to the dictates of conscience. Here Christianity has progressed in its purity. The life-giving doctrine of the one mediator between God and man has been freely taught. God designed that this country, the United States of America, should ever remain free for all people to worship him in accordance with the dictates of conscience. That was God's plan for the United States of America. However, the end of verse 11 says something very different is on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. It says that even though it's got these two horns like a lamb, it speaks like a dragon.
Speaks like a dragon. And so the separation
of
church.
It's a real contrast.
It's a contrast. So the separation of church and state is what has given the United States its power, its authority, and its dominion in the world, unlike any other nation. There's no other nation on the planet that in the space of 250 years has become a superpower, the global superpower. I'll give people $10,000 if they can give me one other nation in the space of 250 years that has had that kind of dominance. There isn't. And it's because God said so, because God raised this nation. All right. Now in connection with this Religious Liberty Commission, and by the way, do you remember Donald Trump when he signed that executive order on May 1, 2020? 25. Do you remember how he asked the question, do we even need the separation of church and state? Do you remember that?
I don't remember.
You know, he said, and I'll quote him, directly. Where are we here? Mm-hmm. This is what he actually said. Let me find that statement. Where is that statement? I had it. I just had it here. I'm not sure what I've done with that statement. I did have that statement where he asked the question, is it even worth, where are we here? It must be here. Okay, here it is. Okay, so this is what Donald Trump said on May 1. He said, they say separation between church and state. I said, all right, let's forget about that for one time. I don't know. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
What did he mean?
Yeah. You know, and the headline was from Politico, May 1, 2020, Trump brushing aside separation of church and state establishes Religious Liberty Commission.
Mm.
And at that place, at that meeting, he also said, we're bringing religion back to our country and it's going to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a big deal. And when the Religious Liberty Commission put out their report, Under the title, President Trump's Religious Liberty Commission Delivers Historic Report Draft. So that was from the Office of Public Affairs, U.S. Department of Justice. That was mm-hmm. June 26. Underneath it, these words from Donald Trump are quoted before we get into the whole 224-page text. We're bringing back religion in our country, and we're bringing it back quickly and strongly. Because for America to be great, to be a great nation, we must always be one nation under God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is beginning to blur the lines. Can you see that?
Yes.
Okay, so we talked about that that first principle. Remember that? The first principle. Where are we here? Of the report. Do you remember that? We Mm-mm. talked about that. No, we
no.
didn't. Okay, I have mentioned it. Here we go. That it will be up to the Department of Justice to determine and to clarify the
yes.
proper understanding of the Establishment Clause,
yes,
separation
sorry,
of church and state.
Yes.
Okay. Whenever you make that decision, you are in serious hot water. The reason is because this then becomes a government issue
mm-hmm.
rather than a constitutional issue. So when the government takes the reins, when the government is the one that's going to define, just like when the government defines what is a woman, and when the government just defines, you know, some of these basics, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You're in trouble.
Because what? Yeah, what's guiding the government?
Exactly. Who's guiding the government and
yeah.
what agendas are guiding the government? Then
yeah.
number 9, okay, so there's 12 points. People can go and check that out. There's 12 recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, to repeal the Johnson Amendment. Now, do you know what the Johnson Amendment is? Do you remember that? We've talked about that a long time ago. The Johnson Amendment was by Lyndon Johnson. He put this bill forward in the Senate. So this is back in the 1950s while mm-hmm. he was a senator before he became the president of the United States of America. And the Johnson Amendment bill is basically preventing churches from lobbying on behalf of the government or against the government.
Mm-hmm.
So it prevents churches who have a tax-exempt status, which
mm-hmm.
you would know all about, that 501c3
mm-hmm.
status in the US. So if you want to have a tax-exempt status as a church or as a charity, you have no rights to go telling your congregation who they ought to vote for
mm-hmm.
and who they ought not to vote for, because that's keeping what?
Church
and state separate. But they're saying we need to repeal the Johnson Amendment. We need to get rid of that so that the church pastor can tell his congregation or her congregation who they ought to vote in the next election and who they ought not to vote for and why.
Wow, that's so interesting.
That's in that. That's one of the recommendations.
Do you remember the quote by Benjamin Franklin when he was responding to a lady, Elizabeth Powell?
Mm-hmm.
And she asked, well, doctor, what have we got, a republic or a monarchy? And
mm-hmm.
he said, a republic if you can keep it.
Mm.
So it must be kept. If you're going to have a republic, you have to keep it. But to remove everything that made a republic, you remove the republic.
Absolutely. And let's go to the words of James Madison. He was the fourth president of the United States of America, and he was the principal author of the United States Constitution. Okay, he is the principal author. What did he have to say about separation of church and state? Even though Donald Trump and a whole bunch of individuals are now questioning the validity of separation of church and state, this is what he had to say. The purpose of separation of church and state is to keep forever from these shores, speaking of America, the ceaseless strife that has soaked the soil of Europe with blood for centuries.
Wow.
That's the purpose of it. So guess what? When you take away the separation of church and state, what will come onto the shores of America? The blood from the old world. And I'm putting it as plainly and bluntly as I can, because that is what happens next. Because what does it say? He speaks like a dragon. And then verse 12, what does Revelation 13 verse 12 say?
Sorry, I just closed my Bible here.
Revelation 13, 12.
You read it.
And he, that is the United States of America, the government, exercises all the authority of the first beast. That's the Roman papacy that committed all that horrible persecution in the old world.
And causes.
And causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And if you do not worship in a certain way that will be prescribed, beginning in America and rolled out around the world, guess what? There will be penalties. One of the penalties is you will not be able to buy or sell.
Yeah.
Okay, according to Revelation 13, 16 and 17. And then finally, there will be a death decree.
So it's looking very clearly like there will be some sort of force, coercion, government swaying
that is
to
what,
worship.
That is why this is so frightening.
But the worship is not for God.
No.
They think it is. They think it is, but it's not directed to God according to the text.
This is the end time mark of the beast crisis.
You're worshiping the beast.
You are. And you are receiving the mark of the beast. And you're worshiping the image of the beast. And the image of the beast literally is the union of church and state, because that language, image of the beast, is taken from where in Daniel? The book of Daniel. Chapter 3, where Nebuchadnezzar set up an image. Okay. He established religion. And then he said, if you do not bow down to my established false religion, you're going to be toast, literally.
Yeah. And people might be thinking, well, what do we do? You know, in light of this, what should we do? And the first thing that comes to my mind is the very next chapter, God's response to this end time drama that he lets us know about in the three angels' message. First angel opens his mouth, fear God. Give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him. So don't worship the beast. Worship God.
Worship him who made heaven and earth.
Worship the true God.
Absolutely. So this is all going on right now. So currently, Sharissa, unlike any other time in United States history, we've never seen anything like this before. The Religious Liberty Commission, okay, is potentially looking to do away with the understanding of separation of church and state, this wall of separation that has always existed for 250 years, to do away with those two horns that provide for religious freedom for all Americans. And it's the commission that has been established to actually protect religious freedom for all Americans that is actually seeking to do away with that. How do you come up with that scenario? You can't script that, can you? Does that sound very deceptive?
It does.
That sounds does that sound like the serpent in the garden?
It does. And that's, I think, something that was brought out at the Final Allegiance program, Boris highlighted.
He did, yes. That's a brilliant presentation. One of the best.
When he spoke on the lamb-like beast of Revelation 13 and highlighting, you know, every other reference to the lamb is a reference to Jesus. And, you know, a lamb is not something scary necessarily. So the only way we can tell truth from error in the end, because they look the same, lamb-like, you know, Jesus is the Lamb of God, and then you've got this lamb-like beast. And
yes.
Both saying things that will be different. The Bible is making that pretty clear. He's not going to speak in line with, this beast doesn't speak in line with what the Lamb of God says. The only way for us to determine the difference and the safe path and the right path is to look to Jesus and His Word.
And His Word.
Let His Word, the Bible, be a guiding light to us in our lives.
Otherwise, if you go with your feelings
and emotions,
you can't trust them. Now, and Sharissa just sent me this YouTube before we go
Sharissa
to this song.
Sent? Oh, yes.
Yeah. Why America? This is from Ben Carson. I haven't come across. I'm going to look for it. Why America could lose everything it took 250 years to build.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
And this is what will happen.
Yes.
Sadly.
Well, time's flying. We've got Anna Beeden bringing to us the song she probably wrote, Hope, Patience and Prayer.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Be blessed.
Lift your head, little one. Lift your eyes to see the sun. Lift your heart and burden so. Oh, rejoice in hope. Lift your head, little one. Lift your eyes. Sun, lift your heart and burden soul. Oh, rejoice in shall come, but I will hold you in my arms, look to the skies in my hands, be patient in tribulation.
We needed 10 hours.
Been, but very valuable conversation.
We've got next week.
We've always got next week. And yeah, well, since our time is flying, we really should get to our
Do you want to give this one last plug?
Yeah, sorry, let's do that. The giveaway today, again, you don't want to miss it. America at 250. What Does the Bible Say Comes Next by James Rafferty. Text LU 26250. For 250 to 0488 176 24.
Okay, and there's so much more. I was just sharing a little insight with Sharissa that we're going to leave for next week. So if you want to hear the insight, you're going to have to tune in next week.
Don't forget it now, will you?
I'm going to have to write it down.
You better write it down.
I'm going to write it down as we speak. So anyway, you lead away on this awesome study. Chapter 14.
Well, we've been going through this book. And again, if you don't have your own physical copy, it's really handy to have a physical copy so you can earmark the page, highlight things that stand out. I find when I read a physical copy, it's more impactful. We've been trekking through the Reformation. We've seen Europe stirred by reform. We've been to the Netherlands and Scandinavia in our previous chapter, but now we come to truth advancing in the English language. And we're picking up chapter 14. So we'll just walk through and I guess
you lead the charge.
Stood out you to lead each the charge. One of us. So while Luther was opening a closed Bible to the people of Germany, Tyndale was impelled by the Spirit of God to do the same for England. And again, in every chapter, in every life of every hero of faith that we're touching on, it's the Bible, the Bible that makes the difference.
Absolutely.
That seems to break the darkness and cause a stir actually every single time. And it's interesting, Tyndale was really to complete the work of Wycliffe in giving the Bible to his countrymen. An amazing man, a diligent student, earnest seeker for truth, fearlessly preaching his convictions, unafraid, again, not of what he wasn't living by the opinions of people, but guided very much by convictions based on scripture. And I thought this was a little interesting paragraph here at the beginning of the chapter. It wasn't long after that a learned Catholic doctor engaging in controversy with him, this is Tyndale, exclaimed, "We were better to be without God's laws than the Pope's." And Tyndale replied, "I defy the Pope and all his laws, and if God spare my life ere many years, I will cause a boy that driveth the plow to know more of the scriptures than you do."
I love that quote as well.
You highlighted it.
Yeah, that's a famous quote, just an awesome quote. And look, Tyndale, a couple of paragraphs earlier, it says Tyndale's preaching excited great interest. Many accepted the truth. But unfortunately, Tyndale came to the conclusion that as he preached, there were those that followed him with misrepresentations in order to destroy his work. And this is what he says. He asked the question, so what can be done? What is to be done? And he says, "While I am sowing in one place, the enemy ravages the field I have just left. Yeah. I cannot be everywhere." Oh, he goes on, "If Christians possessed the Holy Scriptures in their own tongue, they could of themselves withstand these sophists. Without the Bible, it is impossible to establish the laity in the truth." So like you said, he recognized that as powerful as his preaching was, God was able to use his preaching and many other reformers and many other men and women who were preaching the word. But it's one thing to hear the message. It's another thing to have the word of God accessible in your own home at any time for you to be able to read God's truth. And so he recognized the absolute vital importance of the word of God. And it's interesting because at the right time, God has brought out the printing press. Gutenberg's printing press, only 50, 60 years before Tyndale comes onto the scene, the printing press is up and going. So right on time, just as the Reformation is breaking forth in a way we had never seen before, God brought the instrument that would ensure that the Bible could be printed and, mass produced, that would go viral.
Well, we've come a long way since the printing press.
Absolutely.
Listen, here we are on radio. People can hear the word of God
and the internet.
Yeah. And, we heard about, on our trip in America, AWR, Adventist World Radio, reaching some of the most remote parts of the world, even North Korea, people hearing the gospel, but you can see as you're reading this history unfold, the story unfold, we can see that the great controversy. There's this tension, constant tension, because yes, God's truth is breaking forth and Satan is going about like a roaring lion trying to ambush this advancement at every corner, every step. It says here twice when the work was stopped, but when forbidden to print in one city, he went to another. It's just like, he just could not be stopped, and thousands of copies of the New Testament were soon finished, and another edition followed within the same year.
And apparently, it was in Worms, the city of Worms, that he had the scriptures printed.
That Worms place has had a lot of significant history.
Absolutely. So it says here 3,000 copies of the New Testament were soon finished, and another edition followed in the same year. So that was, in the early 1600s. Mm. No, so 1500s, in about around 1516, somewhere there.
Yeah. Well, the word of God was in various ways and secretly conveyed to London and circulated throughout the country. Mm. And, of course, wherever God's word goes, darkness is dispelled, light is brought, and, yeah, it causes a stir.
Absolutely.
Tyndale eventually is betrayed
into
the hands of his enemies and at one time suffered imprisonment for many months. Mm. She says he finally witnessed for his faith by a martyr's death. Mm. But the weapons which he prepared have enabled other soldiers to do battle through all the centuries, even to our time.
And the weapon is the word of God.
The weapon is the sword of the Spirit.
It's called a sword of the Spirit. What's a sword? It's a weapon.
Yeah.
It's incredible, eh? Incredible. Yeah. I had a chuckle when I read the story of that bishop, the Bishop of Durham. He was very upset with these books, with the Bible being sold. And so what he did was he bought from a bookseller who was selling the Bible, probably would have been very expensive. I mean, books back then were super duper expensive. Mm-hmm. He bought from a bookseller who was a friend of Tyndale his whole stack of Bibles. So in order to keep them away from, you know, the people, he bought all the Bibles and he destroyed every single one of them, supposing that this would greatly hinder the work. But on the contrary, the money thus furnished purchased material for a new and better edition, which, but for this, could not have been published.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this reminds me of the scripture, where sin abounds, God's grace abounds even more. In Romans 8:28, you know, all things
work together for good.
Yeah, so even though the enemy was busy, but God is busy. And I think what you shared earlier, you know, Revelation 13 is Satan's attack on God's people.
His end time battle strategy.
Exactly. And in chapter 14, we've got God's end time battle strategy through those three angels' messages that prepare the world for the second coming of Jesus.
And in the end, who wins? Back of the book, the Lamb wins.
The Lamb always wins. Wow.
Amen. So I highlighted the very next paragraph after the one I just read before. Latimer maintained from the pulpit that the Bible ought to be read in the language of the people. Mm. The author of Holy Scripture, he said, is God himself, and this scripture partakes of the might and eternity of its author. There's no king, emperor, magistrate, or ruler that are bound to obey his holy word. Let us not take any bywalks, but let God's word direct us. Let us not walk after our forefathers, nor seek not what they did, but what they should have done.
Hugh
Latimer.
He is espousing religious freedom here.
Mm.
Liberty of conscience.
Yes.
You know, that each one may be persuaded according to the dictates of their conscience based on the word of God.
Yes.
And many of these, as you shared like earlier in our show, when the Mayflower set sail in 1620 from England to the New World, they were individuals, many of them, who were being persecuted by the Church of England at the time, where there was a union of church and state where, I mean, we're going to talk about it later, where, you know, one of my favorite books, one of the favorite books, that allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, you know, John Bunyan. I've been to the jail
really?
where he was imprisoned. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite books, that one.
John Bunyan.
Yeah.
That
Pilgrim's
allegory.
Progress.
Yeah, absolutely.
An amazing book that he wrote while in prison.
That's right. That's right.
And then there are many other friends of Tyndale who come to defend truth.
Mm.
It's amazing because you may destroy one, but that one inspires countless others.
Yeah.
Barnes, Frith, the Ridleys, and Cranmer followed. leaders in the English Reformation. Should we read that quote by Latimer down there? It's a long one, but
you go for it.
You sure?
Go for it. Yeah.
All right. Well, now I would ask a strange question, said Latimer. Who is the most diligent bishop and prelate in all England? I see you listening and hearkening that I should name him. I will tell you, it is the devil. He is never out of his diocese. Call for him when you will. He is ever at home. He is ever at his plow. You shall never find him idle, I warrant you. And then he has a bit of a run. Where the devil is resident, there away with books and up with candles, away with Bibles and up with beads, away with the light of the gospel and up with the light of candles, yea, at noondays, down with Christ's cross and up with purgatory, pick purse, away with clothing the naked, the poor, the and impotent, up with decking of images and gay garnishing of stocks and stones, up with man's traditions and his laws, and down with God's traditions and his most holy word. Oh, that our prelates would be as diligent to sow the corn of good doctrine as Satan is to sow cockle and darnel. What a sermon.
Well, look, they were just so brave and just so bold, brave and bold for the word of God. I mean, literally, their lives were on the line. I mean, we talked about Tyndale. He was martyred. Many were martyred. I mean, John Knox, I mean, he's also featured in this chapter, along with many others like Wycliffe and, you know, the Lollards and so forth. But John Knox, I mean, seriously, he confronted Queen Mary.
Yes.
Of Scotland, or Bloody Mary, as she was referred to. And the reason she was referred to as Bloody Mary is because she persecuted the Protestants, unlike almost any other king or queen of Scotland.
Wow.
And, she was having this debate with John Knox. And John Knox did not fear at all, fear Mary, queen of Scots at all. And and this is what Mary said to him. You know, she was like arguing about interpretation. A bit like what's going on in America with the separation of church and state. Whose interpretation are we going to go with? Anyway, Mary said, ye interpret, she's speaking to John Knox, or writing to John Knox. She says, ye interpret the scriptures in one manner. And they, that is the Roman Catholic teachers, interpret it in another. Whom shall I believe, and who shall be the judge? Asks Queen Mary. And notice John Knox's response. You shall believe God that plainly speaketh his word, answered the reformer. And further, that the word teaches you, ye neither shall believe the one nor the other. The word of God is plain in itself, and if there appear any obscurity in one place, the Holy Ghost, which is never contrary to himself, explains the same more clearly in other places, so that there can remain no doubt but unto such as obstinately remain ignorant. So what John Knox here is saying is the Bible is its own interpreter.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit that inspired the scriptures.
Just like you showed us from scriptures before what the horns represent.
That's right. That's
right. Just let the Bible interpret itself.
The Bible is its best and only interpreter required.
Amen.
And so if you're not quite sure about one particular passage, it's somewhere in the rest of scripture where you have that passage unlocked, whether it's a symbol,
there's no other
a story,
book like the Bible.
Nothing like it. Nothing like it. And so he is dead on. But if you want to remain ignorant, if you want to remain obstinate, to use his words, well, then God is going to allow you to believe a lie. In fact, that's what Paul writes, as you know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in connection with the Antichrist. Those who want to believe a lie, God will allow them to believe a lie because they did not have a love for the
truth.
Amen.
Ah, so, so true. And I can't help but notice as I'm reading this, we're running out of time, but the fearlessness with which they stand for their convictions. And it's because they are so convicted that God's word is God's word, the word of the living eternal God.
Amen.
Well, Ellie Holcomb will bring to us, he will give the weary strength, and then we'll have to wrap up. Unfortunately, it's going fast. Enjoy this song.
Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And like a flight upon an eagle's wings, he will give the weary.
He will give the weary strength. And it brings us to the end of our program today.
So quick.
We didn't get to finish our chapter, but I guess...
We've got a few more minutes. We've got a few more minutes.
We do.
We've got the Wesleys.
We better get to the Wesleys.
The chapter ends with the Wesleys.
The chapter does. And they were just...
Charles and John Wesley.
Charles and John Wesley.
They were part of a big family.
They were.
Like Mrs. Wesley.
She had an amazing mother.
She had like 15, 16 kids.
I think it was more than that.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll look it up.
She was a phenomenal mum.
She was.
She raised these children because her husband, he was an itinerant preacher. He was, he'd come every year, apparently, as the story goes, he'd come every year to meet the new baby that had just been born. And then he would.
19 children.
19 children. There you go. So he'd come every year. Meet the new baby, connect with his wife, and say good day to the whole family, and then he'd be back on the horse, on horseback, traveling around the countryside preaching.
And she raised them.
She raised them on her own, literally.
And she raised a hymn writer, Charles Wesley.
Yeah.
And John Wesley.
Yeah, the famous
Methodist preacher.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is where the Methodist Church has its origins. Yeah. And the Wesleys, they just loved the Word of God, as they all did. Mm. But, you know, and it's interesting because when you take a look at how God is leading and providing more and more light as the Reformation moves, you know, from one decade to another, from one century to another, you see that God revealed to John and Charles Wesley, and in particular John Wesley, that true religion is not just words, but true religions is actions, attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
And also the importance of God's law.
Yes.
That was, and the importance of holiness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They were called Methodists. You know why they were called Methodists, don't you?
Because they have a method for, God has a method for salvation.
Well, look, they had a method for Bible study.
Yeah.
They were very methodical in their Bible.
My grandma was a Methodist.
Was she?
Before she became an Adventist.
Well, look, Ellen White was a Methodist. You know, her family were Methodists before they became Millerites, you know.
They're good people.
Yeah, absolutely. Methodists are solid Christians.
Amen.
Beautiful, beautiful Christians. They've got a beautiful heritage. A lot of that biblical Methodism, you know, that John and Charles Wesley had, sadly, has sort of gone by the way, as has, you know, with the Lutheran Church and so many others. You know, these strong reformers, sadly, many of the churches don't follow or practice those teachings, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But the teachings of Wesley, Luther, Zwingli, and a number of these reformers are so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the holiness of heart was something that they really focused on.
Mm-hmm.
The great doctrine of justification by faith that, you know, was so clearly taught by Luther, you know, was kind of lost sight of. But Whitfield, he was another one.
Yes.
Okay, Whitfield, he was at the time of John Wesley. You know, they brought that back into the light.
Mm.
So, yeah, I don't know what other things you wanted to share in connection with John and Charles Wesley. I mean, there's just so much to share in connection with them.
You go ahead.
I was going to share how they were really, really impressed by a group of Moravians.
Yes.
on this ship, yeah, heading, I think, from the US back to England.
Yes.
And they were in a storm, like a life-threatening storm, and these Moravian Christians, families, you know, mothers, fathers, children, young children, they were at peace.
Mm-hmm.
And they were singing hymns, and they were just completely at peace. And John Wesley wasn't at peace, and he asked them why. And he recognized it's because they had Jesus, the Prince of Peace, in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that changed his whole outlook and his whole understanding of what it means to have a relationship with Jesus.
Mm. Amen.
So, and that's all we can have today, Charissa. No matter what is going on around us, like those Moravian Christians on a ship that was potentially going to sink.
Yes.
They were singing, praising God at complete peace. And
they
were looking up. So, yeah, as this world is sinking, we can have peace in Jesus Christ.
Amen. I think that's a good place to land the plane.
A beautiful place to land.
Maybe we'll close with a prayer.
Yeah, why don't you pray for us?
Father in heaven, we thank you for this chapter that has so many inspiring stories of faith. And Lord, we pray as we close out now with this thought that you would help each one of us and our listeners to keep our eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
To look to him every day, to study his word, to be led by him and guided by him in this crazy world, because we know that this world will come to an end, but you have promised a better world to come. Bless us, we pray, as we continue to study, and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Well, stay with this channel because there is the Drive Time Show coming live from Adelaide in just a few seconds. And this time next week, we'll be back with lots more, I'm sure. We'll be up to chapter 15 next week, which is all about...
Next week, the Bible and the French Revolution.
Oh my hat. I don't know if we're going to get through that one either. Until then, remember that fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up. Keep looking up, and may God bless you all. Take care.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up. When there's pain deep in your heart, keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up. Should the tears begin to start, with a prayer all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.